Thank you so much for being here tonight for our service of the longest night. Traditionally, this is a time where we gather, recognizing the difficulties of this season for many of us. As we run around seeing the joys and the happiness of the tinkling lights and the tinsel on the trees, sometimes memories come back that make us pause. And so this offering tonight is an opportunity for us to pause, to take stock of where God has brought us up until now, and to continue to express our need for God and our thanks for God's continual presence and patience with us. There will be many opportunities for us to sing tonight, to pray. We'll participate in communion, and we also have two stations available for you to light candles for prayers. As we come into this service, I pray that our hearts will be open to God's movement tonight, whether it's a big, strong one or a nice, silent one. My prayer is that we will open our hearts to God's love in a new way tonight. As we continue to worship, I invite you to stand as we sing together, O Come, Emmanuel, as printed in your bulletin. Would you please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? When we find ourselves in darkness, may we also find a blessing. When we find ourselves in shadows,
may we also find the light.
On this longest night of the year, the prophets of Advent continually remind us of this ultimate truth that God is love. Even when we turn our backs on God, God never stops loving us. Even when we choose to live in the darkness, God's light never stops shining. With this assurance of grace, let us make our confession before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence as we contemplate on this verse from O Little Town of Bethlehem. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. I invite you to be seated.
We wait in the darkness, expectantly, longingly, anxiously, thoughtfully. The darkness is our friend. In the darkness of the womb, we have all been nurtured and protected.
In the darkness of the womb, the Christ child was made ready for the journey into light. It is only in the darkness that we can see the splendor of the universe, blankets of stars, the solitary glowings of the planets.
It was the darkness that allowed the Magi to find the star that guided them to where Jesus lay. In the darkness of the night, desert people find relief from the cruel, relentless heat of the sun.
In the blessed desert darkness, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were able to flee to safety in Egypt. In darkness of sleep, we are soothed and restored, healed and renewed.
In the darkness of sleep, dreams rise up. God spoke to Joseph and the wise men through dreams. God is speaking still. Sometimes in the solitude of the darkness, our fears and concerns, our hopes and visions rise to the surface.
We come face to face with ourselves and with the road that lies ahead of us. And in that same darkness, we find companionship for the journey. In that same darkness, we sometimes allow ourselves to wonder and worry whether the human race is going to survive.
And then, in the darkness, we know that you are with us, O God. Yet still we await your coming.
In the darkness that contains both our hopelessness and our hope,
we watch for a sign of God's hope.
For you are with us, O God.
In darkness and in light.
Good evening. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A reading from the Hebrew Bible, Book of Ezekiel 37, Chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. And if you have your Bibles, you will find words like these. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come.'" "O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Won't you bow your heads and pray with me? Life-giving, animating force, we invite you to breathe into this sanctuary. We invite you to fill our bodies with the ruach of your Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. In the Hebrew Bible, whenever there was chaos and confusion in the land, God sent prophets to strengthen, encourage, and comfort God's people. And as it was in antiquity, so it is in modernity, that Emmanuel, God with us, is still speaking through the prophets to deliver messages of hope and comfort. And so for the next few minutes, I want to share a message with you entitled, "Breath for Dry Bones." Breath for dry bones. The prophet Ezekiel, whose very name means God strengthens, was a 6th century priest and deportee from Judea who God called to prophesy to those in exile following the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. To be sure, Ezekiel's call to prophesy was no easy task because, on the one hand, God called Ezekiel to warn of the impending doom and destruction against God's people for their part in not following through with the covenant and honoring the covenant with Yahweh. And when the unthinkable and unimaginable finally happened, that is, the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple and the deportation of Judeans to Babylon, as one writer remarked, God, on the other hand, called Ezekiel to attempt to persuade a traumatized, demoralized, and disenfranchised audience to somehow envision themselves as a part of a future blessed by God. Such is the context for the remarkable and evocative imagery in tonight's text, known to many as the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel's vision of and prophecy to this Valley of Dry Bones represents a metaphor for the condition of God's people in the aftermath of terror, trauma, and tragedy. But the text also represents hope in the divine's promise and power to resurrect and to restore and to regenerate life. As another writer put it, God called Ezekiel to speak to communities of people trying to pick up the pieces of their lives after passing through a terrible trauma where their land had been devastated, the temple destroyed, many of their friends and relatives dead, missing, or left behind, trying to begin a new life in a new land. And so it is in this context that God calls Ezekiel to prophesy a much-needed message of hope in a seemingly hopeless situation. This scripture illustrates the promise, power, and the proof of a compassionate and loving God who can resurrect and restore us back to wholeness. Ezekiel serves as a powerful reminder that whenever there is chaos and confusion in the land, God sends prophets to strengthen, encourage, and comfort God's people. Well, friends, it goes without saying that we are living in hopeless times. American author and journalist Ta-Nehisi Coates, in his latest book, The Message, said this, quote, "We are plagued by dead language and dead stories that serve people whose aim is nothing short of a dead world," unquote. Could it be that we are in a society of the walking dead, entombed in our own bodies? Dead joy, dead peace, dead faith, dead religion, dead hope, the walking dead, alive but not living. Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Y'all, as I was preparing this message, I realized I actually had some questions. Like, how did we get here? What has happened to us that we are alive, but we are not living? Perhaps it is because many of us are navigating the ever-present reality of death, grief, and loss. We struggle to figure out how to live with the death of someone we love, and this holiday season is a particularly painful reminder of who is no longer at the table. For some of us, we are dealing with dead relationships, intimate partners, family, work, and even spiritual relationships that are just unhealthy, unfulfilling, unsatisfying. Carol H. is dead. Maybe your testimony is dead dreams. Dreams to have children, dreams to find companionship, dreams to become successful, dreams to be healthy again. Dreams to live in a world where all of God's children can be well, can be whole, and can be free. We repeat the cycle of our early faith ancestors because we still live in a death-dealing society where the need to preserve and maintain power, maximize profits, and people please has led to a moral rot that is plaguing our most cherished social, cultural, political, and religious institutions where lies have replaced truth. Hate replaced love. Caricatures have replaced character. And death has replaced life. Tammy, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then tell my people to receive my command for them to live. Friends, the good news is that God wants you to also have a good life. John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, we find the words of Christ Jesus, who says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep." So if you profess, beloved, that the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus were so that you might live, then God is saying to you today, receive my gift of life purchased by the blood of Christ. Tammy, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then tell my people they must renew their minds. The Apostle Paul, which, by the way, I think, AKA, is actually one of the first cognitive behavioral therapists. If you ask me, Paul was practicing CBT way back then. We just had to catch up. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul encourages us to focus our thoughts on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, and if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Why? Because Paul understood a spiritual principle in antiquity that behavioral science confirms in modernity, and that is negative thoughts lead to negative feelings, which lead to negative behaviors that kill, steal, and destroy joy, peace, hope, and life. When we renew our minds to focus on that which is life-giving and peace-promoting and joy-sustaining and love-abounding, we open and position ourselves to live life to the full. Tammy, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then tell my people they have a response ability. A response ability to live the life I purpose and planned for them. Oh, such strong words, God. What do you mean? God said, remind them about what I said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, when I said, "For I know I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So here's my question, beloved. Do you know what God's plans are for you? Because if we're being honest, the truth is that some of us don't know what God's plans are because we are too busy chasing our own. When you take responsibility to live your life as God intended, that means an active, ongoing process whereby we seek and we listen and we follow the principles of God as a path to God's plans and your purpose. Tammy, can these bones become living people again? I say again, O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then remind my people of my power to do the impossible. Friends, let me suggest that God does what you cannot do. God does not do what you will not do. I'll say it again because it sounds good to me. God does what you can't do. God does not do what you won't do. That means that your part as a co-laborer with God for you to live well, whole, and free is your part. And sometimes doing your part means making hard decisions, because when you choose and you prioritize the life that God has intended for you, sometimes, that means leaving some things and some people and some places and some habits behind. Because everything and everyone does not fit into God's plans and promises and purposes for your life. And I have become comfortable with being vulnerable in this sacred space when I say to you that I can say with confidence that I stand before you as a witness who has gone through many, many losses to get to the joy that I have and the peace that surpasses all understanding and the hope in a loving and just and merciful God who is still speaking and a love that guides and grounds me. It might be hard for you because it was hard for me. But let me tell you what I know, that I know that I know that I know. There is nothing too hard for God. Tammy, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then tell my people to rise and bear witness. Hear these words from the prophet Ezekiel, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. Friends, to be a witness of the faith and the fruit of the Holy Spirit means to act like and look like you believe what God says about you. As a witness, you are the living text that can inspire hope for what is possible in someone else's life. And I don't know who you are in this room, and I don't know who you are online, but I need you to hear me when I say this. Your life is the witness that somebody needs to see as the proof of what God can do. So, when you receive God's command to live, when you renew your mind, when you take responsibility to co-labor with God's plans for your life, and when you rise and become a witness, you and the world will know that nothing, not even life after death, is impossible with God. Ashe and amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Holy God, in this season of anticipation of the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise. You created all things and called them good. You made us in your image. Even when we became angry or confused or turned against you, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through prophets and psalmists who assured us of your constant presence and steadfast love. Therefore, with the prophets and all who looked for a better age to come, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy is your name, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations and to each of us. In Jesus, you offer comfort in the midst of pain and grief, and you bring hope to those who suffer and sorrow. You give assurance when we are uncertain, and you offer freedom from shame and guilt. In the promise of your never-ending love, from which nothing can separate us, we can claim peace and a quiet joy. Even when we see but a glimmer, we know the light of your love overcomes all darkness. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself and freely accepted death on a cross.
And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and then gave it to all of his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from captivity to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, that we may be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, that we may faithfully serve him in the world and look forward to that day foretold by the prophets and apostles, when the one who came in humility and who comes today in word and spirit shall come in final victory, the day when there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of God's beloved children, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ that has been broken and given and shared with you and with me and with everyone. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace, the cup of life. Now that the table is prepared, it's an opportunity for me, on behalf of the host of this table, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to invite you. Everyone is welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of the church or a United Methodist or anything at all to deserve a place at this table. You already have a place at the table. We will be served tonight by intinction, which means you are invited to come down the center aisle, and there will be some folks here with the bread and the cup. They'll give you a piece of the bread, and then you dip it in the cup and receive in that way. Tammy and I are going to make our way around the sanctuary. If you are unable or uncomfortable coming forward, just let us know and we'll serve you in your seat. All of the bread is gluten-free. After you receive communion, the altar rails are open for you to pray as long as you need to. Shannon and Will be available to pray with you. They will have anointing oil if you would like that as well. If you want to pray on behalf of someone, let them know that and they will pray with you. If you'll just make eye contact and let them know you'd like their accompaniment. At each side, there are candles, two different kinds of candle stations. And these are here for you to light a candle for a specific prayer, for a specific person. We already know of at least one person who can't be here tonight but asked us to light a candle on behalf of her family. If you are worshiping with us online, you can just put something in the chat and we have someone who's looking at that and they can light a candle for the person that you're praying for. There are also prayer shawls over here on the side. Our Creative Hands Ministry has made these shawls. You can wrap them around yourself as you pray tonight as a physical reminder of being held by God. You're also welcome to take it home with you. They're yours if you would like to have one at home. Everything is ready, and we are invited to this table of grace, this table where your grief, your tears, your brokenness are all welcome, and where you will find in this cup and in this bread new life.
am going to invite you to, for the closing prayer, join me in an embodied prayer. And so if you are able to stand, please stand if you are able, but minimally, you want to give yourself at least arm's length space. And so I will say each line of the prayer and demonstrate the movement, and then I invite you to do the same. Holy One. Holy One. May your hope encircle me. May your hope grow within me. May your hope reach beyond me. Amen. Let us inhale in through the nose and exhale through our mouths. One, and I'll do a count. One, two, three, four. Hold four, three, two, one. Exhale. Yeah, I like to hear it. Let's do that again. Breathe in through our nose. Breathe out. Let's do it one more time, and let's make sure that our exhalation has a sound. Let's breathe in through our nose. Breathe out. The spirit of the life-giving, animating force of the Holy Spirit is in you. Your breath is a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are an army of witness. to the life that is possible in God. You have your marching orders. Go forth, live, love, as Jesus has called us to do. God bless you. Have a good night.